Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from our gospel lesson, these words. Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Who do you see in this text? This is the gospel lesson for the second Sunday of Easter. And traditionally, these words of John 20 are read. What happens often is that the focus of this lesson becomes Thomas. And of course, we all know his name, Doubting Thomas. And so often, we fail to really see beyond that. We fail to see the bigger picture. Who should you see in this account? Instead of Doubting Thomas, and you might think about him instead of Doubting Thomas as doubting, "I once was lost, but now am found." As we think of this reading, we should see Jesus, the risen Savior. Now, Thomas seems to be the last holdout of the disciples. If you put all the Easter accounts together, the risen Savior appears to Mary Magdalene in verses right before our text in John 20, to the other women in Matthew 28, and then we have Jesus' appearance to those disciples on the road to Emmaus recorded in the Gospel of Luke. And then in the first part of our text, Jesus now appears on that day, Easter evening. He appears to the disciples on that first day of the week. Jesus came and stood among them. With all these personal accounts and testimonies, Thomas should have been swayed to believe as well. But all this was rejected by Thomas. And this, in his words, they were not a mild rebuke. I don't think so, maybe a wishy-washy reply. No, these words were rather firm. "Unless I see, I will never believe." These were absolute demands, coupled with a resolute and firm unbelief. On that Easter evening, Jesus, risen from the dead, appeared to those disciples in that room. Probably by this time, the Emmaus disciples had also joined this group. And his message to them was very clear and distinct. He spoke those words of absolution, "Peace be with you." He showed them his wounds and spoke to them again, a word of peace, commissioning them to go out to forgive and retain sins. And then the next week, Jesus appears, and it seems that he appears the second time, strictly speaking, for Thomas's benefit. And he again speaks that word of peace to the whole group. But you can imagine Jesus singling out Thomas as well. "Peace be with you." And then Jesus goes about meeting all of Thomas's demands. He invites Thomas to place his finger into his side, to see his hand. And then he speaks to him, "Do not disbelieve, but believe." Now, Jesus could have left Thomas to stew in his unbelief, and to remain in that unbelief. But instead, he comes to Thomas specifically on that second week of Easter. And instead of speaking words of rebuke to Thomas, he speaks that word of peace and invites him to touch him. So Jesus has complied with Thomas's demands for inspection. Truly, this is the Son of God, the Savior, who wants all men, even Thomas, to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And to that truth, Thomas replies, "My Lord and my God." The Holy Spirit moved this hardened heart to express faith in the risen Lord Jesus. He now could see and believe with the eyes of faith. He could see the Savior, wounds and all. God makes possible this seeing for you as well. For God desires all men, even each and every one of you, to be saved. He desires that you see the Savior with the eyes of faith. And this is the heart of the compassionate God, the God who is the God of hope. When Israel was hopeless in Babylon at the time of the exile, God spoke to Ezekiel. He gave Ezekiel that vision of the valley of the dry bones. And he asked Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" And Ezekiel spoke over those dry bones. And that word of the Lord gave these bones life. And Ezekiel spoke again, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet. This picture of the valley of dry bones, now given flesh and blood and life, gave hope to Israel. The Lord who brought this life to the dry bones will lead his people, Israel, back to their homeland. To a people who were as good as dead, the Lord would bring life to them again. This is the Lord who has compassion on his people. This is the Lord who brings back life. It was the compassionate Lord who brought new life to Thomas so that he could confess, "My Lord and my God." God, who has compassion for his people, makes it possible for you to see the Savior. Now, God has not given you the opportunity, as he gave to those disciples that walked with Jesus. We do not see Jesus in the same way. And besides that, we have something else that gets in the way of seeing Jesus, and that is the old sinful nature. Our sinful nature does not want to see God. We do not want to see and believe. Like Pharaoh in the Old Testament, who had a hardened heart. Like Paul talks about, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were hopeless. Hopeless. And so we were like those dry bones in the valley. Can these bones live? It is the will of a gracious and merciful God who does not want anyone to die without faith, without that assurance of salvation. It is his desire that you see and believe that Jesus is the Christ. And so the pastor spoke the word over you at the time of your baptism, and you became a living being, and the Spirit put life in you. He worked faith in you by the means of grace, the word and sacraments. And they continue to do what God has set out for them to do, to sustain you in the faith. And so this morning, when we gather around the table to receive the sacrament, we actually will be able to see the body of Christ. So now you see by faith. That reminds us of that special passage in Hebrews 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Not seen by the eyes, but seen through the eyes of faith. St. Paul adds this to this thought in 2 Corinthians. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Faith directs you to the unseen, to the promises of God yet to be fulfilled in your lives. Yet this faith is also based on the Word of God, the Word made flesh. Flesh, something that we can see. That flesh became man, was crucified, and rose from the dead, and was witnessed by the apostles, by many. Faith directs you to what God has done in Christ. In the water of baptism, he has made you his child, an heir of salvation. And so this faith given to us, breathed into us by the Spirit, confesses just as Thomas, my Lord and my God. You confess those words as you do in the Apostles' Creed, in the Nicene Creed, and in many other ways. They may be informal confessions, such as those simple words, Jesus is the Christ. Your faith that you confess is directed toward the fulfillment of God's promises, as John wrote, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Life in his name. Eternal life. Life in eternity. God makes that possible for you because that's who he is. He is a God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He is the God of hope and compassion, seeking the lost, giving sight to the blind, giving life to the dusty, dry bones. And in eternity, you will see the Savior with his wounds, and yet in all his glory, seated at the right hand of the Father. With that old Simeon, you can say, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.